The Calgary Hitmen play right here. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Good morning and welcome to the Hitmen Hockey Hour here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. I'm your host, Brad Curl. It's a game day for Calgary. We'll get to that as this show unfolds. We'll play down in Lethbridge tonight. It'll be a 7 o'clock start. We'll have the call here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, beginning with a pregame show at 6. But a busy show for you. Calgary making a trade this week. Kyle Olsen is coming home. Yes, the native Calgarian acquired by the Hitmen this week in a trade with the Tri-City Americans. We'll talk about that with the general manager, Jeff Chenault. We'll also catch up with Hitmen forward Cale Zimmerman. He missed the first 33 games of the season because of off-season surgery, but number 11 is back in the Calgary lineup. A bright future for Tyson Galloway, the 16-year-old Hitmen prospect, now up with the club because Yegor Zamula with Russia at the World Juniors. We'll talk to Galloway, and a little bit later on in the program, we'll bring in Hitmen video coach Cass Bruni, talk about the perks of video and what it can do for a team. And as well, we'll hear from Evan Toth, Calgary Hitmen defenseman, the youngster, scoring his first career WHL goal most recently. So a lot to get to, but we begin by looking back to last night. Calgary Hitmen on the road in Medicine Hat, the first of three games in 3 days, and they stubbed their toe. James Hamblin and Elijah Brown scoring two goals each to power the Medicine Hat Tigers to a 5-2 victory. The home team has now won all five games in the season series, with the Hitmen holding an overall record of 3-2 against their Central Division rivals. It was the start that cost Calgary the Tigers, jumping out to a 4-0 lead, aided by a two-goal first period where they outshot the Hitmen 21-5. Calgary getting their goals from Carson Folk and Blake Allen on a night when they were overall outshot 37-22. So Calgary right back at it tonight. They'll take on the Lethbridge Hurricanes again. More on that to come. But our first feature interview this week is with the general manager of the Calgary Hitmen, Jeff Chenault. All things Hitmen. We'll talk about the World Juniors. We'll talk about some youngsters on the blue line, but we'll begin with the trade that went down on Thursday. Jeff, a lot's going on around the Western Hockey League with the looming trade deadline of January 10th, but a lot is happening with your group, and we'll wind it back to this week. You make a trade with the Tri-City Americans on Thursday. You get 20-year-old Kyle Olsen, no stranger to the city of Calgary, grew up, played his minor hockey in Calgary. From the Americans, you give up 20-year-old forward James Malm, a second-round pick in 2020, and then a conditional fourth-round pick in 2022. Let's talk about the player you're getting in Kyle Olsen. What's he all about?
Well, we identified a bunch of players at the start of the year where we felt that, you know, what could we do to upgrade our team? Ideally, you don't really want to be trading 20-year-olds, the 1999 age group. We were looking at 19-year-olds, which is the 2000 age group, but it's such a tough group to find players that teams that will move those type of players, because there's not a lot of them in the Western Hockey League, and the teams that have them want to keep them for not only this year, next year. So that's how we kind of focused on the 20-year-old situation. And you know, by no means were we upset at the play of James Malm. He's a great player, over 200 career points in the Western Hockey League. We just felt that Kyle Olsen provides a different dynamic than our existing group of forwards. And you know, and what I mean by that is just a little bit more, you know, variety to his game. And I mean, not so predictable. And you know, Kyle's a 5-year player. He's a captain. He's playing for an NHL contract, wasn't signed a few years ago when he was drafted by Anaheim, so he's motivated. He gets a chance to come home and finish his major junior career in front of family and friends, and it just checked off a lot of boxes. And we're excited to get Kyle in our lineup. Unfortunately, he's out. He's been out since the end of November with a groin injury. He is starting to his rehab. We're hoping he'll be in our lineup in the next couple of weeks. We are aware of that going into the trade, so there was nothing that, you know, Tri-City was very forthcoming with the information. So, you know, we're hoping to get Kyle back sooner rather than later, but he arrived in Calgary yesterday, and he will be evaluated by our medical staff at the game on Sunday.
One thing about Olsen, you read about him, and it's like he was a Swiss Army knife of the WHL. He can play center. He can play the wing. He can go in and hound on the forecheck. He can make that beautiful play. He just seems to have versatility, and you can never have enough of those guys in your lineup, can you?
Well, I think it's not just for the games now. It's for the games in February, March, and hopefully April and May, when they really take on a different magnitude. You know, I've probably heard from 4 or 5 teams in the Western Conference, specifically the U.S. Division, were happy that he's no longer in that division because he plays so hard against them. And again, it's no slight at James Malm. It's just, we just felt that the players that we were targeting were players that give us a different look in our lineup and a little more depth. And like I said, we're excited when Kyle gets healthy to be in with our lineup and hopefully for a long, successful playoff run.
I know you do a lot of research on a lot of players before you make deals, but you just look at Olsen and he seems to just ooze character, doesn't he?
Well, he always has. I mean, again, he's the captain of the Tri-City Americans, and Bob Torrey doesn't name everybody as the captain. I mean, he's a five-year American, homegrown player, drafted by Tri-Cities. So it just, you know, that's a tough move for Bob to move as captain. And, you know, it went back and forth for a long time before we finally agreed on the deal. But I think that's another thing. The players we were looking at all were captains or assistant captains, just to add some more veteran leadership to an already strong group of, veteran players on our team.
One more on the Olsen trade. You have his brother, Quinn. You acquired his rights last year from the Prince Albert Raiders. Can you maybe update if this trade impacts your ability to recruit Quinn at this point or where you're at in that regard?
Well, I don't think it hurts us, but I don't think we should expect to see him in our lineup this year or anytime soon. I mean, he's on our list. He's at Minnesota Duluth playing as a true freshman. I think he's having a good year. And, I mean, we've left him alone. He's aware, obviously, of the trade from, his talking to his brother and his family. You know, we'd love to have him. I did mention to Kyle that if he was ever unhappy there at Minnesota Duluth, that we could definitely find a spot for him. But he's happy there, and we'll address it when the time comes. But, hopefully, that Kyle has a positive experience with the Calgary Hitmen organization over the final 3 or 4 months of his Western Hockey League career, then maybe it can open a door down the road.
It's ironic. You already have two sets of brothers on the team, and the Pro Cup brothers and then the Krebs brothers. All right, the trade for Olsen, not the only big news since Christmas. Lane Toter has left the team. Maybe just an update on the 19-year-old blue liner and his decision to leave.
Well, Lane came to us before the break and just said his heart wasn't in it. He had some family issues that were, taking precedence as they should. And he just felt that he needed to take a step back to play at this level. I think when it all settles out, he'll probably end up in Portage or the MJHL where he played as a 16-year-old. But right now, he just felt he just didn't have the commitment and what it takes to play, day in and day out in the Western Hockey League. And, Lane was very well liked in our dressing room, so it's a big loss. He's a glue guy on the back end, nothing fancy, kind of a steady Eddie, gets the job done. But I mean, he's a 3-year hitman, and he's been part of the program, he's been part of how the process has moved along as we, started this 2 years ago. And so we're disappointed to lose him. We definitely respect his decision and his family's decision, and we wish him nothing but the best.
Indeed. We're with Hitman General Manager Jeff Chenoweth here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. So those are some of the transactions. Let's talk within. Cale Zimmerman, it's been a long time coming, but you get number 11 back in the lineup. How exciting is that to see him, get off that injured list and get in and real be a, I think, a big part of your team down the stretch here?
Christmas came on January 1st. I mean, to see Cale back in the lineup, missed the first 33 games of the season after undergoing hip surgery in July, about 10 days earlier than we expected. He worked so hard throughout the summer in his rehab in Saskatoon, and when he came here in October, chomping at the bit, wanting to do more, and, finally got the clearance to do more just before Christmas, and we're so excited to have him. That's like making a trade. I mean, you add a player of Cale Zimmerman's resume, he can play up and down the lineup, can do anything well. He can play center, he can play wing, he can kill penalties, he can play power play in the last minute. And I really thought, even though it was just one game the other night, combined with Hunter Campbell and Blake Allen, that gave us another line. It gave us some balanced lines, and it turned out three different lines scored that night in the 4-1 or the 4-2 victory over the Tigers. So that's what you want as you get later in the season, because all the good teams can match the top lines. It's those guys that can go up and down the lineup like Cale Zimmerman that can really add to your hockey club.
Indeed. We'll talk about your blue line here in a second, but let's talk about who's away and your impressions of Yegor Zamula, who we've seen for a number of years in Calgary. We know what he's all about. Now the rest of the world gets to see your star blue liner play on the international stage with Russia.
Well, I watched the first game against the Czech Republic, and he scored two goals, and I saw the signature, celebration that we've seen quite a bit the last 2 years. It's really nice to see one of your players step up at that stage, especially as a kind of an unheralded guy. He's come not from out of nowhere now, but from where he came from a couple years ago. You're like a proud parent to see him play, and not surprising that he's having success. He's that good a player, and on the flip side with us, I think Jet Wu has really taken his game to a whole different level. Over 30 minutes of play in 3 of the 4 games. Got sick here in this building last week, so he couldn't finish after the first period, but he gave it a go. I mean, he's really taken his game to another level, and I can't tell you how excited we are when we get Igor back in our lineup, probably January 10th against Lethbridge, when all the World Junior guys will be back, so it should be an exciting night. you know, to get them back in our lineup and, you know, that final 34 games of the season or 35 games of the season. So, you know, to see Igor have the success over there, it's nice. If they end up playing Canada, I won't be cheering for him, though.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if that happens because, of course, you've got your goaltending coach, Jason LaBarbera, and assistant coach over with Team Canada as well, and let's not forget about that.
Barbs. I haven't seen Barbs in so long. No, I'm kidding. I know that they went through a little bit of turmoil over there. I was chuckling, thinking Barbs is right in the heat of it again with the goaltending controversy after the 6-0 preliminary loss to Russia. But they've got it figured out, and Joel Hofer's playing very well, and hopefully he can keep it up, and the team can keep it up as well.
Indeed, indeed. All right. In the absence of Zamula, you call on some youth on your blue line, and let's start with Evan Toth, a guy that, you know, to me, I'll be honest, he scored his first goal in the WHL the other night. He looked like Jake Bean doing it, sneaking down the left wing, rips it up under the crossbar. I don't know if he surprised himself, but certainly showed that he's got some offense to his game.
Well, he surprised me. I had to do a double take to look at the number who did that, but that's definitely a highlight reel goal. And so happy for Evan. He knew coming in that with a veteran defense that you know he might not play a lot. You know, we didn't know what was going to happen with the World Juniors, but with all the injuries we've had, and then Lane Toter leaving, and then Igor going for the World Junior camp. I mean, he's played 20 of our first 34 games, and I think he's getting better and better each night out. He works so hard at practice, and it's so nice to see that in a young guy who, you know, so positive. Even though he's not playing, he realizes the situation that his games are, for the most part, not lately, are practices, and he's been so effective. And I think that, you know, to be rewarded with a goal the other night, but he's playing, you know, 12 to 15 minutes a night, which, you know, we need that. We need that. We're playing 7 games in 10 nights here to start the second half of the season. So, you know, there's no rest to ease anybody in. They've got to play.
Yeah, and he, along with the other youngster we're about to talk about, Tyson Galloway, rave about the mentorship of Dakota Krebs and Jet Wu. Let's talk about that second young player, and that being Tyson Galloway, who I think maybe any other year he's probably a full-time blue liner, but you've got so much back there. Your impressions of what you've seen from Galloway, who ironically his WHL debut came last year as a 15-year-old in the Corral Series.
Well, when we brought Tyson up, he was playing in merit of the BCHL, and he's playing against the older players. And to your point earlier, you know, if we were in a veteran team this year, probably would have made our hockey club, but as you know, 16-year-olds have to play a number of games, and when you're returning all 6 veteran defensemen, it's tough to sit out players. Yeah. So, you know, his development, you know, he's gone to merit, he's played well. We called him up. At that time, you know, Lane Toter hadn't made his decision, so he was really just going to get the experience for the 2 weeks. Well, he's thrown right into the fire now because we only have 6 healthy defensemen, and, you know, he's played very well for us. Again, much like Evan Toth, bodes well for, you know, not only for Tyson's development for the rest of this year, but next year as well when we lose all these older defensemen. You know, they've got some game experience, they can step in, and we're excited not only for this year, but definitely next year for what Tyson Galloway can bring to our hockey club.
Jeff, a lot going on in the WHL these days. Appreciate your time and updating the latest with the Hitmen here.
Always a pleasure, Brad. Thanks for having me.
That is Calgary Hitmen General Manager Jeff Chenault. Yeah, a lot to get to with his group that is now 18-12-4-1, firmly cemented in wild card spot number 1 in the Eastern Conference. Well, among the topics we just spoke about was the return of Cale Zimmermann. Zimmermann last year in the WHL in his second season, 26 points, and I thought he was one of the drivers in the playoffs last year that helped the Hitmen bounce out the Lethbridge Hurricanes in a first-round upset in the WHL opening round. Well, Zimmermann returning to the lineup for Calgary this week. I had a chance to talk to Cale about his, well, long-awaited season debut. Well, Cale, a long-awaited debut for Cale Zimmermann this season in the Western Hockey League. What was it like, getting back out there?
Yeah, very long time. It was just over 8 months, but it was great to be back out there with the team. Definitely not the start to the game that we wanted, but no, it took a while to get the legs back under me and get up to game speed, but it was lots of fun to be out there again.
When did you find out that you were getting the clear to get at it?
I saw the doctor on, that was Monday, and he told me that there's a possibility. He's given me the green light, but we still had to touch base with the surgeon, and then it was Tuesday at practice after practice I found out. So I was pretty sparked that night, and then waking up the next morning, I think I was actually glad that it was a 1 o'clock game, so I didn't have all day to think about it. I could just, you know, wake up in the morning, have my breakfast, head to the rink, and get into it. So
you look at this year, and obviously what's behind is behind, and you're now back and going. How long do you think it'll take to get up to speed and get your timing back?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time. So, you know, just focusing on practices and, you know, playing game speed in practices, being sharp with my passes and stuff, and I think that'll help lead to games. In time, how long will it take? I really don't know, but hopefully sooner than later.
One of the beauties of being injured is you get to hang out with Joel Otto, and I've heard over the years that his conditioning skates are you know, guys, let's just say, are happy to leave those in the rearview mirror. Tell me about your time with Joel and his preparation to get you ready.
Yeah, Joel Otto, he has experience. He's played in the show, and he definitely, I think, maybe picked up a couple drills from there that will get the cardio back in shape. But yeah, I skated with him quite a bit leading up to my return, and I think that actually helped quite a bit.
What are those skates like? I assume not a lot of pucks and a lot of huffing and puffing.
Yeah, actually, he does. I mean, when you first start out, it is not a lot of pucks, but he definitely incorporates pucks and game-like situations, and I think he's great in, you know, getting you ready for the game, getting your confidence up, and just helping you get ready.
I guess he personally went through the same road to recovery that you did. How nice is that to have someone that was in your shoes?
Yeah, he had hip surgery too, and after my surgery and I was out skating with him, I had a chat with him just asking him, you know, what can I expect coming back skating? Is there anything that I need to, you know, look out for or stuff like that? And he kind of gave me some tips, so it's just great to have him around.
You've had a chance to watch this team, you know, since you got back a couple of months ago. What do you make of this group that you're returning to?
It's a great group of guys. Sitting up top watching, you can learn a lot too. And I think that's one of the big things that I got from watching is just, you know, watching other players, how they play and stuff. But no, this team is unreal, and I think, you know, we just need to keep building as a team and not just focusing on, you know, individuals, but the whole team and building on that.
Dale Zimmerman of the Calgary Hitmen, our guest here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Alex Medina, he works for HitmanHockey.com. You got questions for Kale?
Yeah, so talk about kind of the rehab process, not just, you know, physically getting back, you know, your strength and all that stuff, but also how important was it mentally to stay strong, because you're out that long, it can get a little tough sometimes.
Yeah, definitely the mental aspect is probably one of the biggest. And actually, you know, before the season started, I had a talk with Jeff Chenoweth, our GM, and Steve Hamilton, the coach, and you know, we had a chat, and we figured it would be best if I stayed home and did rehab there for a while. You know, just it gets long if you're, you know, in Calgary for whatever that would have been, 3-4 months. Yeah. You know, just practicing, and you're not really around the team. You're around, but you're not, you know, doing team things. And I think that would have been mentally draining. So when I, you know, I got the chance to stay at home for an extra month, I jumped on that and was able to do rehab with Pro Sport in Saskatoon with Blaine White, and he was unreal. And he had a couple other pro players there that were dealing with injuries too, so it was great to work with them and, you know, see their habits in the gym and away from the ice. So it was great that I got the chance to do that.
And talk about playing with Blake Allen. You guys were friends growing up. He already mentioned before he was so excited when he was traded here because he knew you were there. So how excited was you personally that you were finally able to play on the ice and play on the same line with him too?
Yeah, it's definitely going back a long time. We played together in Bantam, in Humboldt there. Yeah, he's a character guy. Great to have in the room. And I was just as excited as him when I found out he got traded here. You know, he heard and he sent me a text right away and said, "Hey, guess what? Got traded." I was like, "Oh yeah, I heard." Yeah. So, you know, we were pretty happy, and then, yeah, I mean, being on the same line as him, it's something that, you know, you don't really think of, you know, like having a great friend like him playing on the same line as him. Mm-hmm. In the Western Hockey League. So it's definitely a very surreal moment.
And you also Hunter on that line too. So I know you and Hunter are good friends, and then Hunter now and Blake have also become good friends. So is it kind of the three amigos in a sense where you guys all just get along? And how fun is that to really just have that chemistry where you guys all have that tight bond?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's the three amigos or the three stooges, but
no, it's great to play with them. They're such character guys, just great guys to have around in the room, and I think we really gel well together.
A couple more before I let you go. Just tell me about, this division that you're in. A couple of big wins recently over division rivals. What do you make of this Central Division?
Yeah, I mean, I remember looking, I think it was right before the Christmas break, I looked at the standings, and out of the whole league, the top five or three of the top five teams were from our division. And I was like, wow, we have a very strong division. And I think we struggled a little bit in the first half in divisional games. I mean, we played Edmonton quite a few times, so that was kind of our nemesis there. But lately, we've been definitely picking it up, winning these key division games, and I think that's the most important piece in climbing up the standings.
Last one, and that's personally, what do you want to achieve here in the second half of the season for yourself, getting things going?
Number one is stay healthy. I've been injured way too much, and I just want to, you know, be able to stay healthy and get some games under my belt. But I want to, you know, play more confident. That's a big key. And I think, you know, with experience comes, you know, more confidence. So this is my third year in the league now, and I think just need to, yeah, show more confidence out there and believe in myself.
Well, welcome back to the lineup and continued success here.
Thanks, Curly.
That's Calgary Hitmen forward Cale Zimmerman back after missing the first 33 games of the season. Time for our first break on the Hitmen Hockey Hour. A little bit later on in the program, we'll introduce you to Calgary Hitmen video coach Cass Bruni. He and Troy Norcross worked the computer behind the scenes. We'll tell you what that's all about. We'll also catch up with Calgary Hitmen defenseman Evan Toth, reflect on his first career goal in the WHL. But when we come back, it's Hitmen blue liner, a second round pick from a couple of years ago, Tyson Galloway, joins the show. You're listening to the Hitmen Hockey Hour, produced this week by Patrick Dumas. I'm your host, Brad Curl, here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hitmen Hockey continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Hitmen Hockey Hour rolling along on your Saturday morning as the Calgary Hitmen prepare to take on the Lethbridge Hurricanes tonight. They'll be back in Scotiabank Saddledome tomorrow for the weekend finale of three games in 3 days. Yes, the Moose Jaw Warriors come to the Dome. It'll be a 4 o'clock start. It's also Ricky's All Day Grill Sunday Fun Day, featuring face painters, concourse activities, giveaways, and of course, a post-game family skate free with a game ticket. Sunday Fun Day pricing, $9.99 for kids 12 and under, $15.99 for adults. That's the Hitmen and the Moose Jaw Warriors tomorrow, 4 o'clock at the Dome. Hitmen and the Hurricanes tonight down in Lethbridge. But among the players that'll be on the blue line for Calgary is defenseman Tyson Galloway. Galloway, a great story, a second-round pick of the hockey club. Made his WHL debut playing last year, three games with the Hitmen as an underage 15-year-old. He's now 16 years old. Toiling for the most part in the BCHL, looks to be a primary focal point of the Calgary blue line next year, but with all kinds of experience and depth that Calgary has on the back end this year, just not enough space for Galloway, but filling in admirably in the absence of Yegor Zamula, who's at the World Junior Hockey Championship with Team Russia. This week, had a chance to sit down and go one-on-one with the future of the Calgary Hitmen blue line in Tyson Galloway.
Tyson, back up with the Calgary Hitmen. How's this experience been for you coming in here and getting some reps while Yegor Zamula is away at the World Juniors?
It's been awesome so far. The guys have been great to me. I think I've been playing well. It's the team's been playing well. We've been getting some wins, which is nice. And yeah, it's been awesome.
You actually made your WHL debut last year, and ironically, it wasn't even at the Saddledome. It was next door at the Stampede Corral. What do you remember about those games against, I guess it would have been Regina and Prince Albert?
It was definitely an adjustment for sure to come in and have to play in an old building like that, old boards, old gate, old everything. It was old bench. It was a lot different for sure, but it was awesome. I remember getting the win against Regina in the first game, and then obviously playing a good Prince Albert team, obviously, but Yeah, it was awesome. But playing here, playing the crowd, definitely different for sure.
How beneficial is that to get in as you did last year as a 15-year-old and get a taste of what this league's all about?
Yeah, I mean, like coming in this year, for sure, I feel a lot more comfortable. And like coming in last year as a 15 definitely helped me like right now. So yeah, it was definitely super beneficial for me.
You look at this Hitman team this year, it's an older group on the back end, so that's left jobs tough to come by. So tell us about your season and where you've been getting some minutes this year.
Yeah. So in September when they sent me down, I'm playing for the Merritt Centennials of the BCHL. It's been great. I've been getting tons of opportunity there. Great group of guys there, and it's not the best year win-wise for us, but we got a good group and hardworking, and it's been great for my development.
On your development end, I guess this is the first time in your career where you've had to play against much older players, yourself being 16, the BCHL, just like the WHL, where you'll play guys that are 20. How's that been adjusting to that?
Yeah, it's definitely a hard adjustment playing against last year in midget, only playing against guys one or two years older than me, and then this year, 3 or 4 years older than me. So it's definitely an adjustment for sure, but it's been great. It's been great for me playing against those older guys, role models for sure.
Tyson Galloway, the Calgary Hitmen, our guest here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, with Alex Medina from HitmanHockey.com. Alex, questions for Tyson?
Yeah, this offseason, just what were the things you worked on in your game to really just get ready for the season, especially playing against older players, things that you kind of want to round out in your game?
Yeah, I think for me it was definitely getting faster, obviously getting stronger, but getting quicker hips, quicker feet, been able to play against quicker players was definitely the adjustment I had to make in the offseason.
How beneficial is it being paired up with Dakota Krebs, you know, veteran in the league here? He's played 5 years in the league here. So just how big is that for you to learn from a guy that's been in the league for so long?
Yeah, he's a role model to me for sure. He's a great guy on and off the ice. He's a great competitor. He's competitive. He's just a true hockey player in my opinion, and it's been great to play with him.
What's going to be the biggest takeaways that you take away from these games once you go back to the BCHL, like you can kind of take to your game to improve and get ready for next season also?
Yeah, I think just watching the guys here, just taking everything I can away from this and bringing it back there. I think these last four games that I've played, I've made huge strides, and I think I can take that back there and improve even more.
Does it feel like these last few years have really gone by fast? Because it seems like just yesterday you were drafted to the organization, and now here you are getting a bunch of games under your belt.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's. I was actually thinking about that today on the car ride here. I was like, you know what? I was drafted two summers ago now, or spring, and I was like, now I'm here. It's kind of crazy, to be honest.
You pick up a big milestone along the way. You get your first career WHL point. Take us through the play that saw Sean Chagall score the goal, and maybe did you take him out for lunch because of that?
No, I haven't. I said thanks afterwards. But, yeah, I was off a face-off. We called a play, and Mahmer brought the puck up to the point, made a nice deceptive drop pass to me, and I kind of just made a nice little, sidestep, got it on net basically, and Sean was just great. It was a great play by him, and he just put it right through the goalie's legs, and it was a nice play, nice goal.
Tell us about your game. You know, when you were playing minor hockey, what were your strengths that you think got you to this position of being drafted and now playing in the WHL?
I think for me it was definitely being a bigger guy, and my skating ability for sure was definitely something that has got me here. I think my hands, my offensive ability. I mean, haven't really been able to. It's different here for sure. Like playing when I was younger, it was definitely easier to be an offensive defenseman for sure. And now here, you're kind of recognizing your role for sure. But I think those are big things that got me here.
Tell me about playing alongside Jet Wu as well. We talked about the mentorship of a Dakota Krebs, but Jet Wu is one of those guys that drafted NHL player, can be as effective at both ends of the rink, and I think that's maybe your upside, where you see yourself maybe, you know, being a contributor at both ends.
Yeah, for sure. He's one of the nicest guys I've ever met, for sure, and he is an exceptional hockey player. It's kind of crazy to watch. It's like, oh yeah, I'm on this guy's team. It's like, but yeah, he's nuts. He's a surreal talent out there for sure.
Why hockey for you? And how old were you when you first had some memories that you can kind of reflect on?
you know what, I don't really remember. I remember starting skating when I was like 2 or 3. And hockey was just like, it's just, I'm a super competitive guy, and it's just, it's probably the most competitive sport out there, and it's great. I love it. It's my life.
Have you ever played another position, or has D always been the one? And if so, why the fondness to the back end?
I mean, I was always a bigger guy, so I think coaches always put me as defense, but I don't really, maybe when I was younger, I might've played forward a bit, but I think defense is always my favorite thing. I like keeping the puck out of my own net. It brings me happiness, so that's what I like.
And goaltenders around you love hearing that as well. They get an extra ally on the back end. Again, we're with Alex Medina from HitmanHockey.com. A couple more for Tyson.
Yeah, just talk about the season. I know you mentioned the season overall, kind of not getting the wins that you guys want to, but how beneficial is it to have the group that you do have back in the BCHL, that tight-knit group, and also coming here to a Hitman group that's also a tight-knit group?
Yeah, it's having a group that is together, like Hammy says, we before me, is probably the most important thing that you could have as a team. And if you want to win, that's what you need. And it's both groups, both teams that I've been on this year, exactly like that.
Is it kind of cool that the first point of your career comes from the guy that was also drafted in the same draft class as you? So it's kind of a glimpse in the future of the two first round picks of that year, really.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Sean kind of said something to me afterwards. It was kind of like that, but yeah, it was, I haven't really thought about it too much. It was kind of just a, it was just a normal shot to the net, and he kind of just threw it in, and it was kind of like, oh wow, it was my first point. I didn't really think about it, and then we were in the huddle, and Krebsy actually was like giving me like the smile and the whole like arms up. He's like, oh no way, and I was like, oh yeah, maybe it was. I was like, but yeah, it was pretty cool.
And last one, just talk about the support from your parents. Just how proud are they of you, you know, coming here, and also that you picked up your point, but also just being here in the WHL and the progress you've made.
Yeah, it was actually, they were actually here for the game when I got my first point. It was pretty cool. But yeah, they've been my biggest supporters my whole career, and I love them both, and they're great.
Tyson, thanks for this and continued success, not only with the Hitman, but throughout your career.
Thank you very much.
That's Calgary Hitman defenseman Tyson Galloway. All right, time for another break here on the Hitman Hockey Hour as we inch closer to the top of the hour in that other World Junior semifinal between Canada and Finland. Yes, a big game here on your Saturday morning. Big game tonight as well. Lethbridge Hurricanes and the Calgary Hitman. We'll have that one for you as well on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. But when we come back, some more Hitman flavor for you. One of two video coaches for the Hitmen, Cass Bruni, will join the program. What does a video coach do? How does it help the players? We'll give you some answers. We'll also meet Hitmen rookie defenseman Evan Toth, recently celebrating his first career WHL goal. That is the Hitmen Hockey Hour continues here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Home for the Calgary Hitmen and the Western Hockey League. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Calgary Hitman in the midst of 7 games in 10 days post-Christmas. Looking beyond and a little bit further back, a higher view, if you will. 8 straight games against teams from their own division. They'll play their 8th and final game against a Central Division foe tonight. They're down in Lethbridge, take on the Hurricanes. Looking to bounce back after a 5-2 loss to the Medicine Hat Tigers last night. Outshot 21-5 in the first period. A definite slow start, down 2-0 in that setback. All right. Time for another feature interview here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan as the Hitman Hockey Hour continues. A video coach. What would one do if they're a video coach? Well, you ask the question or we'll give you an answer. Cass Bruni and Troy Norcross, both video coaches with the Calgary Hitman, and I had a chance to sit down with Cass and talk about maybe the evolution of video. Back in the day, you think VHS tapes, maybe onto the DVD. What does it look like now? How does it, I guess, employed from a strategic standpoint, from a coaching standpoint? All things video now with Cass Bruni.
Well, Cass, I guess back in the day there probably wasn't even video, and then there was the VCR tape, and then the DVD, so I imagine all that technology is gone from the Calgary Hitman side of things. What do you use in terms of video these days?
We're lucky, so we tag on to the Flames, and we use the software, which I think the majority of the NHL teams use nowadays. It's called XOS, so it's a frontline program where we can I'll hook onto it. All our coaches have it on their computers. And what I would do is I go on through our games, get the video directly logged onto that computer, and then I would be able to tag our events for the intermissions, for post-game, and then as well have our pre-scout involved video so we can integrate that into our system as well. So it's a great system. It's the top-end technology, and it's come a long way. Yeah, I know a lot of the league now has some full-time video guys. It used to be where scratches and players were logging and, and clipping goals and goals for and against, but now we've able to track. I track about probably 1,500 events a game, and then we can do a lot of things with that data afterwards. So it's really come a long way.
The one thing about it as well is it's standard across the Western Hockey League. So if you're on the road, you go to, it doesn't matter if it's Swift Current or Brandon or Lethbridge, you can hook up and get the feed. So how does it work? Where do you get that feed?
So it depends on the rink. Honestly, the most fun is coming to the smaller rinks because I would be able to hook up in the press box. What happens is you'd have a direct video feed that would connect to your computer. You lock in. It's a pretty simple process. Whereas in comparison to the bigger rinks like the Edmontons and Calgary's, you would have the option to hook in down in the dungeon where the coach's room is.
Yeah.
And then you would have a bunch of screens available. And I think that's what a lot of the NHL teams do, is they would have their video guys down in the coach's room because, one, it's a lot harder to come down in the intermissions from the press box, and they need someone there with the screens for coaches' challenges, etc. So for the Edmonton and Calgary games, I will be down in the coaches' area, and we have a lot of tools there just because of the ease of access to be there for the coaches in the intermissions. But for the smaller rinks, the Medicine Hats, the Lethbridge, Red Deers, it's awesome. I'll be in the press box, and I'll run down to the intermissions to get the interaction with the coaches, as well as being on the line with one of our assistant coaches during the game.
Yeah, the Western Hockey League, a little different than the NHL, obviously. There's no coaches challenge, so your coaches don't have iPads on the bench. You can't communicate that way. But what are some of the tools that you have available in the software, things that you use commonly that, you know, that would be quite common?
So the big things, what I look for during the game, would be a lot of the face-off work and doing coverages. A lot of times our assistant coach will ask and see what happened on that previous play, just because oftentimes the game goes by so quickly on the bench that they don't have those eyes to look back on.
Yeah.
So I will be those eyes. If there's a certain tendency or a face-off play or what happened on a certain goal, I would be able to go back on that video in real time, look at it quickly in about 40 or 50 seconds, and then try to kind of give them a quick synopsis of what happened in that previous play. So that's something in the real time that I'll do. And as well, for the intermissions, I would be able to clip certain plays for the coaches just so we can see certain things in the intermission. Then I'll have kind of a roll of 9 or 10 clips that will show in the intermission, including the goals against and chances against, that we'll be able to kind of look at as a group in the intermission.
Calgary Hitmen video coach Cass Bruni, our guest here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. That's a lot of the team stuff. What about individually? Say I'm Mark Kastelic. I come to you after the game. What can I get from you that's going to help me as a player?
I try to be a resource for the guys. So this software gives me the ability to get their shifts together very quickly. So what will happen is I will tag the shifts throughout the game, and then really at a click of a button, I would be able to export those video files to the players about 20 minutes after the game.
Wow.
So even when we're on the road, we have about 9 or 10 guys who will get their shifts regularly right after the games, and so I consistently send them those. And then there's other guys over time that if they want to see specific things, I'll be able to send them pretty quickly.
One of the cool things that the Western Hockey League has is WHL Live, where fans can go on and watch the games. I assume that's the same feed that you get, and can you speak to the quality? Because I think that's one thing that the WHL needs to be patted on the back for, is to how good video has become over the course of the last 5 years or so because of standards, whether it be lighting in buildings or just the overall cameras that are used to capture the game.
It's awesome. Yeah, it has come a long way. We do get the exact same feeds to answer your question. And yeah, like it's hard to compare even like a Swift Current to a Calgary now. It's come a long way. They're very comparable. So from rink to rink, there are some rinks that still are catching up for sure. I won't mention which ones those are, but they it's come a long way, and then WHL does a really good job. The league has really standardized where I can go into a rink, hook in, and I know what I'm going to get. It's really predictable. And then we're able to provide all the fans with some good video as well, which is awesome.
Last one for you. A lot of scouting, of course, done on your team and on the individual players. How much goes to the next level? Do you ever pull in and go, here's a shift from Johnny Gaudreau, or here's a shift from Shea Weber, and you know, trying to use NHL teaching tools for your team?
Absolutely. So a lot of the times for our pre-scout footage, if we're talking about special teams, we want certain coverage. If you want to see a power play that's been successful, I'll pull video from the playoffs last year or from a team that's been really successful. A lot of times we will pull like a Boston power play or Toronto power play just to see what they're doing and what they're working with.
Yeah.
And as well, it's good contrast to have in a pre-scout meeting to say, okay, this is how we do it. This is how the pros do it. Just to solidify that we're doing things that they're doing at the next level as well, I think is a really important tool. So we definitely bring in that video. We have access to that video to bring it in for pre-scout and to show the kids that as well.
So is your best friend on the team that computer? How much time do you spend together with it?
Yeah, you know what? I am on the computer a lot. The guys give me a lot of heck. I am IT support for the team as well, I feel like, as well. But I enjoy it. It's something I think it's a useful tool. Like, I don't think we're drowning in video. I think it's a useful tool. It's just another piece of information. You don't want to overdrive these kids with video. You obviously, it's just one of the teaching tools to help them in their development process. But I think we're using it pretty effectively here.
That's awesome. Good stuff and continued success behind the keyboard.
Awesome. Thanks, Brad.
It's Calgary Hitmen video coach Cass Bruni. Real interesting stuff there. You know, there's so many finer points of the game, and video can often bring it to light. Well, the Calgary Hitmen will play in Lethbridge tonight against the Hurricanes, and no doubt looking to bounce back after a 5-2 loss in Medicine Hat last night. Among the players that hopes to maybe light the lamp again is Evan Toth. Toth, most recently scoring his first career goal in the Western Hockey League. Let's be honest, getting all kinds of opportunity in the absence of, well, Yegor Zamula away with Russia at the World Junior Hockey Championship, and with Lane Toter leaving the hockey club to be closer to home to return to Manitoba as well. Toth has become a regular on the back end. Well, had a chance to sit down with Evan and talk about his season so far and also that memorable first goal in the Western Hockey League. Evan, first career goal in the Western Hockey League. Walk us through what you saw and how it went down.
Well, it's a little blurry looking back on it, but I know the last thing I remember was Fitz having the puck kind of, you know, entering over the blue line. And I saw he was kind of by himself, and they had four guys were kind of just staring at him. So I thought I'd, you know, jump up in the play on the weak side. He got the puck over to me, took a hit, make the play. Credit to him. And then just got my head up, got the shot off as quick as I could. And just, you know, I just wanted to try to get a rebound or something. But, you know, went a little better than I thought. Went back bar, apparently. I mean, I didn't think it. I thought it hit the post or the crossbar. But, you know, I saw the ref just pointing it was a goal, so yeah.
I was going to ask you about that because the goal light never came on, the horn didn't go off right away, so you weren't convinced yourself it was in. It was the referee that kind of tipped you that way.
Yeah, he was pointing that it was a goal, but even after I saw him doing that, it still didn't really register with me. And then, you know, I see Krebsy, who's just, you know, coming at me screaming that I scored, so that kind of, you know, made me realize that it was in. But still, it was like, even I was looking at the replays after trying to figure out and see it go in. So
yeah, I went to video replay upstairs. They confirm it. The puck itself, what do you have planned for that thing? Who do you kind of tip your hat to, look back on your career and go, you know, without these people, I wouldn't have been able to get this first goal?
Well, firstly, the puck's probably going to my parents, obviously. I mean, that's ideal. I mean, they're like the most important people in my life who've helped me. But, you know, in terms of, you know, every coach who has ever coached me, I've always learned something. I always try to learn something from every coach I have, and, you know, every person I have who I train with in the summer. So, you know, credit to all those people, but, you know, most importantly, it's got to be your parents, you know, driving you to practice every day when you're a kid and stuff. So yeah
indeed, no doubt about it. So to me, I saw it upstairs, and that goal looked a lot like Jake Bean. I don't know if you remember who Jake was, a dominant player in the Western Hockey League, now carving out his pro career with the Carolina Hurricanes. But he came down, shot it up under the crossbar. You know, does that give you a shot of, you know what, I can score in this league? You know, sometimes when you get the first one, it gives you a boost of confidence. Did you get a confidence boost off that?
Yeah, definitely was a confidence boost. And I remember when I was first drafted here, you know, Jake Bean was still on the team, and I don't know, like, obviously, you want to live up and try to be as good as him. And I remember watching highlights and stuff when I first got drafted and going, wow, he's pretty good. And yeah, we're like, you know, that shot and stuff, that under the bar, like, I've been trying to do that stuff since Bantam, and it doesn't always work, but, you know, started to work a little more in midget and stuff. So, you know, I will say, you know, looking at Jake Bean and stuff, tried to kind of replicate that. But yeah, no, it's, it's pretty cool that that was my first one, the way that happened, though. So
yeah, it was an unbelievable release. No chance for the goaltender. It was just zinging in. We're with Evan Toth, the Calgary Hitman, here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Alex Medina from HitmanHockey.com as well. Questions for Evan?
Yeah, just talk about your progression from when you joined the team to now. What's been the biggest thing that you've noticed in your game that's improved, and also just getting used to the style of the WHL?
Just confidence. It's just a matter of being confident out there, because I know I'm a skilled player. Is the reason that everybody's here, you know, and it's just a matter of, you know, doing the little things right. You know, sometimes when you're here for the first little bit, you're, you know, you got your head down a little too much, you're a little bit nervous, but, you know, just playing with confidence, getting your head up, doing the things that you know how to do. So that's what I've really been focused on, and I feel like, you know, especially with just scoring that first goal, it's starting to come really well.
How beneficial is it to have such a veteran back end? You know, you got Dakota Krabs, Jet Wu, all those guys there. Just how big is it for them to pick their brains and also try and learn areas of their game to implement to yours?
Oh, it's fantastic. I couldn't ask for a better decor to kind of learn from. You know, Dakota Krabs, obviously, he's one of those guys who's just chatty. And obviously, when I first scored, he was pumped. But, I mean, you know, so was every other person on that decor. You know, each and every guy was happy for me. So, you know, that's really good to see. It makes you feel really good, and, you know, all those guys teach me a lot of things, so, you know, I really appreciate the fact that I have them as my veterans this year.
And how nice does it kind of make the transition, but also just to be in such a tight-knit group and really have everyone get along and be friends with everyone here? Just how easy is it for you to kind of transition when you first got here too, but also make it easier when you're playing night in and night out?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Like the group that we have just meshes really well together, you know, especially that Dakota Krebs guy, you know. But no, we work hard, like, you know, when we're on the ice, but when we're off the ice, we're always having fun and stuff, and it's really important for that as a team, you know. And this, then, you know, obviously the Western Hockey League is a little different, but in terms of teams I've played on in the past, you know, I have to say this is the most, you know, close team that we've ever had, and it's really something to see and just witness in the room every day.
As you were answering that question, by the way, Krebsy comes over, shakes your hand. So a little behind the scenes as to what was going on there, Alex.
For sure. And last one for me, just talk about goals that you're for the rest of the season here. Is personal goals that you're kind of wanting to improve on, or anything that you want to set your mind to?
Just being confident and taking the most of every time I'm in the lineup, or every time I get a shift, etc., making the most of it, you know. Obviously, I'm still one of the younger guys, so I have to, you know, take what I can get and just work as hard as I can with what I've got, and, you know, put in the extra work, you know, behind the scenes. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we want to do as well as we can this season, but I also know, you know, hockey doesn't end after this year, so I have to be ready for next year and all that. So, you know, it's just progressing and making myself a better player each and every day, and using all the shifts that I can to better myself.
That's Calgary Hitman rookie defenseman Evan Toth, and that is our show this week. I want to thank all of our guests for stopping by. Hitman video coach Cass Bruni. We also heard from forwards Cale Zimmerman, general manager Jeff Chenoweth, also defenseman Tyson Galloway, all stopped by the Hitman Hockey Hour this week. Again, inviting you to join us tonight when the Calgary Hitmen wrap up this mini two-game road trip. Started with a 5-2 loss in Medicine Hat last night. They'll look for the reset tonight against the Hurricanes. We're on the air, beginning with our pregame show hosted by Matt Rose at 6 o'clock, play-by-play at 7 o'clock. So on behalf of our entire crew, including our producer this week, this is Brad Curl saying thanks for listening to the Hitman Hockey Hour. On your radio next, the semifinal, Canada, Finland at the World Juniors, here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.